Attention all shoppers. Attention all shoppers.
Shopping mall. I wouldn't care about the isolation. I'm unconcerned about the Walking Dead. It's the end of the world.
Howdy, folks. Widget Walls here with your 1031 heads up information, which I know we're late in getting out, but the site's free. So, what can you do? So, what do we have to talk about? 4-10-31. We got a few things here, so let's try and blitz through them, shall we? The first thing is an excellent, excellent audiobook from Random House's Listening Library. That's Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass, which is the first book in the His Dark Materials trilogy. And I know we talked about this before. It's been getting a lot of play recently because it was recently turned into a stage show with, I want to say, Timothy Dalton is one of the leads? I think that's right, but I could be wrong. And of course, it's being made into a film, which I believe is coming out next year. And it's excellent on its own for a bunch of reasons. First of all, it's just a fascinating concept that you have this young girl who's growing up in a world where everyone has a demon, which is basically an extension of yourself that sits outside yourself and is some kind of animal. And she lives at Oxford University as an orphan. And she goes on this base, you know, well, it's a fantasy novel, so of course there's some kind of quest involved, right? But this quest is tied up with theology and science and this strange device called an alethiometer and all kinds of crazy stuff. And it also features one of the coolest concepts that I have read in a fantasy book in a long time, and that is armored bears. I'm not going to say anything else other than armored bears. They rock balls. So this book is excellent. And I will go ahead and warn you that the first book, excellent. Second book, excellent. The third book is a total letdown. It's a letdown of Matrix proportions. Let's put it that way. All I will tell you is that Pullman has an agenda. And it's never good when, as a writer, you let your agenda get in the way of your characters. And because of your agenda, because you want to hammer your message home, you betray your characters. And that's all I'm going to say on the subject. So bear that in mind, that if you follow through the whole trilogy, there will be heartbreak. However, this first book is glorious. And it is done, this audiobook, we're talking about an audiobook here, an unabridged audiobook. It's done with the author and a full cast. It's excellent. So I unabashedly recommend this one to you highly. But I give you that caveat to beware, because I did not know, and I marched flat into it, eyes wide open, and it was rough. And in fact, I wrote a new ending for the Matrix trilogy, one of these days I might actually just rewrite the end of the third book, Amber Spyglass, just to get it out of my system. I was so disgusted. Anyway, so this is from Random House. It is again The Golden Compass by Philip Pullman, and like I said, excellent, excellent book. I don't want to put you off of it by talking about it later on down the line. You can worry about that later. Make sure you at least read this one. Great book. Now, The Golden Compass was kind of for kids, but kind of for kids and kind of not, right? It's one of those books that you could read as a kid and as an adult, and you could get something completely different from it. This next one is from Harper Children's Audio, and it's from Kevin Henke's. It's Lily's Big Day and Other Stories. Now, if you know Lily, who is this mouse who thinks she's the center of the universe, which, you know, most mice at that age do, I guess. She's been the star of multiple books from Henke's, and these books are adorable. And you know, if I can say adorable without gagging, they must be pretty good, right? So this is Lily's Big Day and Other Stories. It's got a number of the books that, if you're familiar with the series, you'll be familiar with these. Lily's Purple Plastic Purse, Lily's Big Day, Julius the Baby of the World, Chrysanthemum, Owen. There are eight in all on this collection. and eight, and it's just an hour, one CD, and they're all unabridged, of course. They're children's books, so it's a quick listen, but they're very cute. And this comes from Harper, like I said, and it's read by Christine Ebersole and Richard Thomas. So it's Lily's Big Day, if I could talk, and other stories by Kevin Henkes. And if you have not checked out these books, please do so. I put them up there with like Ian Falconer's Olivia and others as children's books that you know, everybody needs. Next up from Random House Audio, we've got Ship of Ghosts, and the subtitle of this is The Story of the USS Houston, FDR's Legendary Lost Cruiser, and the Epic Saga of Her Survivors. And this is by James D. Hornfisher, and it's read by Robertson Dean. And this is abridged, 6 hours across five compact discs, and the basic gist of it is the Houston was in the Pacific during World War II, got sunk, and basically the survivors of the sinking, the story first of all talks about the lead up into that, the sinking, the battle and the sinking, and then the what happened to the survivors when they wound up in POW camps in Asia. So it's a fascinating history of what happened to these folks and their, I mean, you just, I keep hearing people talk about how, especially now, we don't really understand. I mean, I was listening to a, what was it? I forget who the guest was, but I, as you know, I'm an addict when it comes to the Coast to Coast AM radio, hosted normally by George Norrie and on the weekends by Art Bell. I love that show because it's a total freak show, right? But every once in a while, they have on a straight-laced, and I'm not, you know, I don't mean that in a bad way, a freak show. It's a glory. I say that in the same way that I talk about Dragon Con as a freak show. It's a glorious freak show. But basically, every once in a while, they have on somebody who's actually, you know, with the government, you know, who's actually, you know, listening to this one about the guy who wrote the book Noise, talking about all the various types of noise and how to deal with it and how, you know, how you know, hearing loss happens and all this shit. But basically, just to tell you, it's not all abductees, although, you know, it's wonderful when you're I'm a subscriber to Streamlink. So it comes, it's like basically like a podcast, right? It downloads it into four big files and I can listen to it later. But it's just glorious when you when you're randomizing through these things, and it comes, and that's right, it's open lines. We're talking about psychic vampires, and we're listening to your stories here on Coast to Coast. It's just, I can't tell you what joy that brings me to hear that. It's just so ridiculous. But anyway, this guy was on there talking about how we don't understand war, and we really don't, and we really don't. I mean, we really don't. People my age, we don't have any concept of what it was like during World War II, because of, I mean, you know, even if you've got, you know, the Japanese American concentration camps, which were horrible enough, but I mean, just the day to day life of, I mean, you've seen in some movies that take place in the day, they didn't have enough steel for bumpers, so you would be on a waiting list for like a bumper for your car. You would have this like cross tie, this piece of wood was your bumper. And there was rationing of food, rationing of supplies, because we had to bring up the war machine and you know, go kick some ass. And you know, as the guy was saying on Coast to Coast, now, you know, about the only inconvenience that we have is that, you know, gas prices fluctuate. I mean, really, unless you know somebody or, you know, have a family member who's in the service right now, it's about all that's happening. I mean, I'm generalizing. There's some exceptions, so don't anybody get pissed off at me, but you know what I'm saying. But I mean, you read stuff like this where, you know, going to concentration camps and shit like that. And I mean, you can't, I you know, I can't even imagine that shit. And granted, we got, you know, people being tortured on all sides, and you know, we've got people getting their heads sawed off in the Middle East if they get caught by the wrong people. So, I mean, war is shit, no matter where you know, what the reasons are or anything. But all of that just to say, I mean, you know, it's good, I think, to go back and read. Read, period, because so few of us are literate anymore. But I'm just saying, it's really good to go back and get perspective on what the world was like, you know, back then, in the last, you know, the last huge war that we had to deal with, like huge as in worldwide, you know, world. Well, that's why they call it a fucking world war, right? But I think it's important that we go back and we expose ourselves to that information so that we gain some perspective. And, you know, I don't say that to belittle the war that's going on right now, but I'm just saying, you know, times have changed and things are different, and perspective is important. You know, Richard Bach said in his book Illusions, perspective, use it or lose it. So Ship of Ghosts, all that to say Ship of Ghosts from Random House Audio. Fascinating story about the USS Houston. That's from James D. Hornfisher. And again, it's read by Robertson Dean. Okay, next up, we got a couple of books to talk about. First of all, a book that is saving my life. And if you're working with websites, especially working with like WordPress or really probably any blogging software, it'll probably save your life too. This is from O'Reilly, and it's The Definitive Guide to CSS. Well, it's called CSS, The Definitive Guide. And this is a new updated edition that covers IE7 for those people who are building websites and such. And, you know, I got to tell you something. I don't know. I still don't have a full grasp of it yet. And it's like, you know, for example, at my day job Virus, they have this thing where you rate yourself as to your skills on things, right? And they have this rate, you know, they have a rating that basically says, I am an expert and I could teach this. And I hardly ever give myself that. And I there are probably some things that in a crunch, I could probably say, yes, that's, you know, that I could, you know, get up in front of people and explain it to them. But I think that's kind of like hubris to say, yes, I am a professor of this and I can teach it and I'm so good at it. I'm always learning more and more stuff about CSS. But it's fascinating the ability to basically just do calls to a central document. And it's a lifesaver. I mean, because I tell you, I used to do, you know, back when the Sleep Deprivation Institute, was first coming around, we didn't have any of this shit. So it was basically, you know, you had to do it offline. And there was this program called NetObjects Fusion, which sounded, I mean, at the time was glorious because you could make one change and the program would propagate the changes for you. But you were still having to make the changes in, you know, 100, 200 different places. With CSS, you're making one change and you're, you know, affecting everything, which, if you know what you're doing, is a godsend. And if you don't, you can fuck everything up. Now, you can undo it, of course, but it's just, it's one of those things where you sit there and I go, you know, I'm like, oh, shit. All right, control Z. Yeah, okay. So this book is a godsend. If you're doing web work at all, then you should definitely check this out. It's CSS, The Definitive Guide, and that's from O'Reilly. Next up, streaming November the 2nd, we had a book about gorillas. And this is Gorillas with a Z. And basically, this is the musical group that, to me, is a fascinating concept. Because Jamie Hewlett, basically, with some actual musicians, put together this band that doesn't really, not really, kind of, sort of, but not really, exists. And, I mean, if you've seen the stuff, and I think we've posted it with, you know, where they've actually gone on tour with, you know, some form of concert, but what was it, the MTV European Awards, Music Awards, where they actually appeared on stage, and it looked like they were on stage. I mean, it's freaking amazing. And I'll go ahead and tell you this. You know, apart from the single Dr. Feelgood, I really can't get into the Gorillaz. And it's one of those bands where, you know, on one hand, I feel like I really should get into them. And I feel like something wrong with me. I mean, I know there's something wrong with me. I don't know what it has to do with the Gorillaz or not. But if nothing else, I can appreciate the concept behind it and the execution. I mean, it really impresses me. Now, the book, of course, we're talking about is Gorillaz: Rise of the Ogre. And basically this takes you through the background of the creation of the group, has some excellent artwork in here, a lot of, I guess, what you would call behind-the-scenes stuff with the artists and whatnot, and a lot of interviews as well. So this is from the folks at Riverhead Books, and if you are a fan of the band, you might want to check this out because it's basically everything you would want to know. If there was like a Criterion collection of Gorillaz stuff, then this would certainly be it. This would be the stuff that you would pull from it. But anyway, so Gorillaz: Rise of the Ogre, again from Riverhead Books, a nice, and it's pretty hefty. I mean, it's according to Amazon, it clocks in at close to 2 pounds. So it's a nice coffee table book, and especially if you're into the artwork and what went into the technical making of Gorillaz, then you definitely want to check it out. But again, Gorillaz: Rise of the Ogre from Riverhead Books. Okay, first up, we're going to talk about some CDs, and I'm going to do a CD and DVD together, although they will appear, God, I can't talk, they will appear separately on the actual heads up information. And it is, don't freak, it is a couple of Barry Manilow titles. And basically, I don't know, maybe I'm covering this in a vain attempt to try to get linked up by Dave Barry, who apparently has a Barry Manilow fetish or something. Anyway, we've got two things here. The CD is called The Greatest Songs of the 60s, and it's from Arista. And we also have the DVD First and Farewell. So CD first. Basically, this is exactly what it says it is, his hits from the 60s. And I can't tell if that picture on there, I mean, does this man age? I mean, I'm just saying. I can't tell if that's a picture of him from the 60s and the cover of the DVD is new, then it's kind of terrifying. Anyway, but you've got songs on here like Strangers of the Night, Blue Velvet, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, all of the things that you would expect to be on such a thing. Now, none of this is, to my knowledge, a new release, so it's just like any other greatest hits thing. If you don't need deep cuts, then this would be fine if you're trying to get your Manilow fix. But otherwise, you'll want to stay away from this simply because you probably, if you are a Manilow fiend, then you probably already have this stuff. But if you're one of those people who only dabbles, then this might work for you. That's The Greatest Songs of the 60s, Barry Manilow from Arista. Now, let's talk about Rhino and the First and Farewell DVD. And basically what you've got is two DVDs here. And this is what's interesting, is that, first of all, apparently, something kind of fascinating here, and really this is unique, I think. The second disc, let's start with disc two first. The second disc is the farewell tour that he gave November 2004, and it's shot in Anaheim. And it's basically, you know, just him going through his greatest hits, which is what you would do on a farewell tour. But the first disc is the first rehearsal. It's black and white videotape recording that he did at Carroll Studio in New York City in November of 1974, so 30 years earlier. So basically you get bookends of his first rehearsal taped and his farewell tour. So, I mean, you know, I got to respect the guy for that. I mean, how often do you see somebody going, yeah, show him, you know, back when I was, you know, 30 years younger and you know, trying to figure out what the hell worked and all that stuff, and releasing it in one volume here. Well, two volumes in one set, but that's actually pretty cool. It doesn't make me enjoy the hell out of Manilow. I'm just not a Manilow kind of guy, you understand, but I got to respect the guy for that. So basically you've got some bonus features on here, some bonus performances from other locations in 2004. So anyway, that's Barry Manilow, First and Farewell, and that's from Rhino. So those are your two Manilow bits. We get those out of the way first. And if you're a fan, I promise not to tell anyone. Next up, we've got, from the folks at Sony Legacy, we've got Mobb Deep, The Life of the Infamous, The Best of Mobb Deep. Now, every time that I say this to Ken, Ken goes, isn't it Mobb Deep? And I'm like, you know, I can't find anything online that says, you know, we need pronunciation guides. Look, folks, here's a guide to everyone. When you get famous, if you've got a freaky sounding name, put a pronunciation guide out there, okay? That's all I'm saying. It's spelled Mobb Deep, even if it's two B's. I'm the guy with the English degree, and I'm saying it looks like Mobb Deep, so you're going to have to bear with me. This is Mobb Deep. It's their best of, okay? And it's got 17 tracks on here, including two unreleased tracks. Well, they're released now. They're previously unreleased, obviously. But you've got a remix of Quiet Storm with Lil' Kim. You've got Keep It Thorough with Prodigy. You've got Real Gangstas with Lil' Jon. So if you're a fan of the group, Havoc and Prodigy here, then you might want to check this out. If you already have their albums, then it'll be up to you to determine whether or not the two previously unreleased tracks on here, Blood Money and Go Head, are worth grabbing this. But this is out from the folks at Sony Legacy, and again, it's Life of the Infamous Mobb Deep, the best of, and fans are going to want to check that out. Next up, we've got a three-disc set called Can't Quit the Blues from Buddy Guy. And basically, this is pretty much exactly what it purports to be, which is a huge-ass box set of his entire career. And it looks like you've got 47 tracks on here, which is a lot. And fans are going to want to definitely check this out. There are a few extra bits on here, including some previously unreleased tracks. I'm counting four of those. And there's also at least one track that's been previously unavailable on CD. So there you go. You got five tracks that if you've got a complete Buddy Guy collection, that you're missing. And you've got stuff on here that you would expect. Damn Right I've Got the Blues, which is excellent, of course. Your Mind is on Vacation is one of the previously unreleased tracks, which I think is my theme song. And The Price You Gotta Pay with Keith Richards. So this is out from Sony Legacy. And it's, like I said, it's a pretty massive, massive set here. Three discs. And a blues fan is definitely going to want to check this out. And also check out for the unreleased tracks. It's Buddy Guy Can't Quit the Blues, and that came out on the 31st. Next up we've got, for people who know, of course everyone knows now, Gnarls Barkley. I did not know CeeLo Green before Gnarls Barkley. And Doc, of course, was like, CeeLo Green, of course CeeLo Green. And here, check this out. And introduced me to, you know, the two... I believe it's at least two solo albums that he did. And, of course, I'm not as familiar with the stuff that he did with Goody Mob, which is where he started. But basically, dude has got some pipes, okay? The stuff that he's done in Gnarls Barkley is excellent. But if you like Gnarls Barkley, you should definitely check out CeeLo's solo stuff. And this is a great place to start. Closet Freak, it's the best of CeeLo Green, the Soul Machine. This is also out from Sony Legacy and Arista. And it's got some, if you want to... hunt out some tracks and try them. Art of Noise with Feral from Nerd is excellent. Under the Influence is an excellent song. Those are on lots of repeats on my iPod. It's excellent stuff. So from what I can tell, there's nothing new on here that hasn't already been released. But if you're one of these folks who's just gotten introduced like me through Gnarls to the work of badass singer CeeLo Green, who I think is one of the I think he's one of the best singers that we got right now, honestly, to be perfectly honest, because he impresses the hell out of me. And I'm a singer. So, I mean, I won't say that, I'm like a level five so that I can teach singing at all, but I at least know what's good. And I know when somebody's doing shit that I can't do. And that always impresses me, no matter whether it's singing or anything else. So if you want to get a primer in CeeLo's solo career, you can check this out. It's Closet Freak, the best of CeeLo Green, the Soul Machine. And again, that's from Arista and Sony Legacy. And next up, last of the CDs, we've got also from Sony Legacy, we've got the Nina Simone Remixed and Reimagined CD. And it's 13 new remixes of Nina Simone tracks. And the tracks on here are stuff that, anybody would recognize. Here Comes the Sun, you've got To Love Somebody, you've got Turn Me On, and I feel like I should be embarrassed. I don't recognize any of these folks who have remixed stuff, like Francois K, Tony Humphries, DJ Logic. I don't remember any of these stuff. B-Not or Madman are probably in the audience right now nodding their heads and going, oh, yeah, I know them. They probably know them. I mean, shit, Madman knows CeeLo, so they probably know these guys and have their home telephone numbers, but I don't. But if you're looking for something new, a new spin on Nina Simone's work, then you should definitely check this out. And this comes in a limited deluxe edition with 13 new remix tracks. And again, that's Nina Simone Remixed and Reimagined, and that is from Sony Legacy. Next up, we've got the 1966 world tour of Bob Dylan, the home movies. And this is the home movies of Mickey Jones, who served as Dylan's drummer. And basically, this is a tour where Bob Dylan was going around with the folks behind the band. And basically, this is Jones went and found some of the home movies that he had shot during the tour, and this is that footage. I mean, that's basically what it is. But it's fascinating footage in that it's the behind-the-scenes. Again, I was talking about a Criterion, but if you wanted to get a behind-the-scenes footage thing for that tour, this is it. Footage of the Beatles. You've got interviews on here and just a wealth of stuff for hardcore Dylan fans. Now, you're not going to have, a lot of live, it's not like a... how best to put this? You're not going to have like a live full-on Dylan concert in this because that's not what he shot. And he was probably playing the drums at the time anyway. But this is exactly what it purports to be. Jones's home movies that he has put out for hardcore Dylan fans to enjoy. And from what I can tell, this is a re-release from Music Video Distributors of the same title that was out from Studio Works a while back and I believe is out of print. So if you didn't catch it the first time, grab it this time. That's Bob Dylan Home Movies from the 1966 World Tour. Next up from Universal Music, more music, right? And that's always good because it's Johnny Cash. And you can never have too much Johnny Cash. This is a live performance that he gave in 1993 in Ireland. And that's why the thing is called Johnny Cash in Ireland, naturally. And basically you've got, he's on hand, June Carter Cash is on hand. Carter family's on hand. His son's on hand. And Chris Christopherson is there. And Chris Christopherson rocks balls. So what have you got? You've got Ring of Fire with the Carter family on here. Folsom Prison Blues. You've got him singing Big River with Chris Christopherson. Along Black Veil with Chris Christopherson. So there's 16 tracks on here. Basically a live performance that he did for television. And if you're a Cash fan, which of course I don't know how you couldn't be. I mean, not only did the guy wear black, but I mean, we gave him the Chazzy for a reason, because he's Johnny fucking Cash, right? So if you want to get some more excellent Johnny Cash stuff, it's Cash in Ireland, Johnny Cash in Ireland, and that's from Universal Music out on DVD. Next up, we've got the fourth season of CSI Miami, the complete fourth season, which is really amusing after Uncle Warren has done his whole thing about the Caruso bot and his love of sunglasses. But basically what you've got here is 25 episodes, all 25 episodes of the fourth season of Caruso and Friends. And you've got three featurettes that come on here, along with audio commentaries on six episodes. If you're fans of the CSI machine, then you're going to want to check this out from Paramount. So if you're a fan of the franchise, you're going to want to check this out. And as it rolls on, and surprised there hasn't been an announcement of a new one, honestly. But anyway, this is the complete fourth season, CSI Miami, 25 episodes, and again, that is out from Paramount. Now, next up, let me tell you why we like Blue Underground. Blue Underground provides cult and reasonably unknown films. I mean, if you're in the know about the stuff, then you probably recognize films like Daughters of Darkness. But Blue Underground, how many other companies would actually put out a two-disc special edition of Daughters of Darkness? Now, granted, you could say, sure, the second disc is a bonus movie, right, with the blood-spattered bride, which sounds awesome on its own, right? But basically, I mean, even if you look at the first disc, it's not like this is just a twofer movie thing and they're passing it off as a special edition, right? And this is why we like Blue Underground, because they don't fuck around. Here's the first disc, right? You got two audio commentaries, one with a co-writer and the director, the other with one of the stars and a journalist. Then you've got a bunch of interviews with the writers, okay? You've got interview with the various stars. You've got radio spots, and really, what that's pretty impressive for a lesbian vampire film from the 70s. That's obviously B movie sub Skinamax level type of stuff. So if you are a fan of this kind of movie, if you're a fan of vampires, if you're a fan of this kind of erotica horror, especially from the stuff that they were doing back in the 70s, then Blue Underground has this release for you. And I love companies that put out excellent releases of stuff that otherwise might not even be on DVD, or might even if we're lucky would be on some shit DVD, right? But they put out excellent editions like this. So Daughters of Darkness, if a 300-year-old vampire with bisexual overtones is your thing, and from 1971, who wouldn't at least want to give that a watch, even from an adverse video point of view, if nothing else, then you should check that out from Blue Underground, most definitely. Next up, also from Paramount, we've got the first season, the complete first season of The Ghost Whisperer with Jennifer Love Hewitt. And basically, the whole concept of Ghost Whisperer, I mean, would we have even had this name? I don't know. The whole thing is supposed to be about respect for the dead, right? Because she's helping spirits pass on to the next thing, right? But when you consider that they got the idea for the title, and you can't deny this, from the Horse Whisperer, I don't know, how is that really respecting the dead? That you're kind of like an equestrian mammal, I don't know. But at least you get to talk to a fine chick, right? I guess, I don't know. Call me callous, I've been called worse. But anyway, you've got all 22 first season episodes on here, along with a wrap-up of the first season. You've got a couple of featurettes, you've got a tour, you've got deleted scenes, and you've got audio commentaries. In fact, I was just checking, and we've got commentaries on four episodes, one each. And then you've also got three deleted scenes available. And again, that's across six discs. It's the first season of Ghost Whisperer from Paramount. Next up from Anchor Bay, we've got Heartstopper, which is unique in that you've basically got Robert Englund, who is playing a sheriff. And from what I can tell, he's not like, he doesn't turn into evil sheriff, at one point. He's actually a heroic figure, which is great, because some of us, like me, remember before he was Freddy Krueger, he was, the meek guy on V. So it's kind of neat to see him do something else. So it's you know, but I'm glad the dude has a career because I love Robert Englund, right? Who doesn't? So basically what you've got is he's a sheriff. He's electrocuted this guy who's a serial killer. And basically the kind of like the Monty Python skit, he's not dead. He's just, well, and, to go from Holy Grail to the Parrot Shop, he's pining for the fjords. And he's looking for the fjords through this hospital and killing as he goes. And he's got some kind of supernatural thing going on as well, eating souls or something like that. And it's basically your standard serial killer comes back from the dead, not quite dead, and is kind of pissed. That sort of deal, right? Hijinks ensue. Also comes with interviews with the director and also interviews with Robert Englund. So if you want a neat little adverse video bit to check out, Heartstopper would be a pick for you as well. And that is out from Anchor Bay. Next up from the folks at HBO Video, we've got Volume 3 of The Hitchhiker, which is a two-disc set with 10 stories on it. And basically, for those of you who don't remember, and first I was looking at this going, The Hitchhiker, HBO, The Hitchhiker, HBO, I remember this. And I looked and we're talking like, you know, this series started back in 1983. So I was like, wow, okay. So I'm amazed that I remember anything from that time because I've tried to block most of the 80s out. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't work. So what you've got is it's kind of an anthology, mystery thriller type of deal. The Hitchhiker is your host, sort of, and Paige Fletcher is playing the Hitchhiker. And what you've got in this series is a bunch of different folks who are there or along for the ride. Michael Madsen, Michael Ironside, Alan Thicke, of all people. I remember when he was a talk show host. Bill Paxton, Kelly Lynch, Lauren Hutton, all of these folks. And so if you're, you know, we're talking a Heartstopper, if you want a little bit of a terror thing going on and you don't mind a little retro stuff if you remember the series, then you should check out Volume 3 of The Hitchhiker. Two discs, 10 stories, and that is from HBO Video. Now, next up, we've talked about the folks at Cult Epics before, okay, and how they were providing some excellent what I would say historical erotica type stuff, the series about, you know, erotica from the 20s, 30s, 40s, and also the stuff like that has to do with Betty Page. Well, basically, what we've got here is Volume 1 through 4 of the Irving Claw Classics. And what is this? Well, basically, you've got these were films, right, from the 1950s. And there were these short 8mm films that served various fetishes, you know, chicks dancing, various fetish films. You had chicks wrestling and stuff like that. That's tame, utterly tame by today's standards. But it's fascinating because, again, it's always, you know, interesting to get the perspective of, well, what was, you know, taboo back then and what was considered to be, you know, incredibly sexy and erotic back then. And here you go. This is them hitting DVD for the first time. With brand new transfers, and it's also got a bunch of stuff from Betty Page, which has got some of her films. It's got, like I said, wrestling and catfight stuff. It's got, you know, the fetish films. Guys, don't get too crazy, but it's like, you know, stockings, high heels, you know, maybe a little bit of pony play type of thing. There's you know, it's tame, okay? It's tame. Don't you know, run off and buy this thinking, woo, you know, but I'm just saying. From a historical perspective, it's absolutely fascinating to look at. And if you are into historical erotica, if you're into the history of erotica in general, if you're into Betty Page, then you're going to want to check this out because, you know, it's one of those things where I'd mentioned before, I had, you know, I'd been aware of Betty Page for years and years and years, but this is like the first time I'd ever seen any of her actual films. I mean, I've seen plenty of stills with her. They put out the movie about her just recently. And, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where you hear about it and you finally see it. And it's just fascinating. So, again, this is from Cult Epics, always doing an excellent job. This is the Irving Claw Classics, Volume 1 through 4. And if you're into this sort of thing, you should definitely check it out. Only on Need Coffee could we go directly from Betty Page and, you know, catfight films to It's a Wonderful Life. And this is, I love it. Variety. That's what we're all about, folks. This is from Paramount. It's a 60th anniversary edition. It's a restored edition. Of course, this is the Frank Capra classic, which was recently they had the trailer recut into a Hitchcockian thriller, which was okay. Now, this is the 60th anniversary edition, right, of the classic film. And from what I can tell, this is the same features that they had on the previous version that had been out before. So if you already own this, you're not going to gain anything by this. I mean, it's restored, but I think it was restored the last time. Anyway, if you have any doubts, rent it and check it out. But basically, you've got a documentary featurette making of by hosted by Tom Bosley, and a tribute to Frank Capra, narrated by his son, Frank Capra Jr., along with a trailer. That's It's a Wonderful Life, you know, and we're coming up to Christmas, so, you know, it'll be on television as well. But if you want to own it, it's from Paramount. If you don't already own it, from Paramount, 60th Anniversary Edition, It's a Wonderful Life. Next up, we've got a bit from Acorn Media. This is the two-disc set, which is comprises the second series of The Last Detective. And you Doctor Who freaks out there, and you know who you are. Please be aware that Peter Davison is the star of this series, and if you haven't checked it out, you certainly should. Basically, it is four feature-length episodes across these two discs, and it is about Davison, who's a detective inspector, who basically goes into cases that most folks couldn't give a shit about, and goes after them until they're solved. For fans of Davison as an actor, you're definitely going to want to check this out and at least give it a rental to see if it will be worth purchasing. But basically, this is, like I said, two discs, comes with a bio of Leslie Thomas, the creator of the novels, rather, and also photo gallery and cast filmography. So, detective fans, if you've gone through all your Midsommar Murders and you just watched the new Poirot and you've gone through all of those, you need something new, give it a check out. It's the second series of Last Detective, and again, that's from Acorn Media. Next up, we've got the third Mission Impossible film, which starred Tom Cruise before his complete and utter meltdown. This is out from Paramount, and it's a two-disc set. And, you know, as I understand it, this is actually the one of the best of the series, which is, you know, on one hand, not saying much. But on the other hand, it is J.J. Abrams is behind it, who is, you know, Alias guy, right? So fans of Alias are going to want to check this out, if nothing else. And they were very sneaky, and I've said this before. They were very sneaky to first of all, you know, Lawrence Fishburne is nice in this because Lawrence Fishburne is nice in everything. But they actually have Philip Seymour Hoffman as the heavy, and I will watch Philip Seymour Hoffman in just about anything. But I haven't broken down and watched this yet. However, so that being said, if this is your bag, then you're going to want to check it out because they've actually got a pretty decent special edition for you here. The audio commentary is from Tom Cruise and Abrams, right? You've got a making of, you've got deleted scenes, and you've got eight featurettes that comprise the second disc. So it's pretty packed. So if you're a fan of the movie, you're going to want to check this out from Paramount. And you know, and it's sad because I really like Tom Cruise as an actor. You know, his personal life is kind of freaky, but I really don't care about that too much. I just would like to see him go back to actually, you know, making films, as opposed to being a spectacle. But that being said, Mission Impossible 3 from Paramount, two discs yet. Check it out if it's your bag. Next up, we've got from Mondo Macabro, which is not only a great name for a company, but they also put out, like Blue Underground, they've got some great stuff that you wouldn't normally see. They're the folks who released those classic and terrible, terrible, mind you, Bollywood horror movies that I watched during Halloween and just, you know, barely managed to survive. But basically, this is Parts the Clonus Horror. It is a special edition of this film from 1979 with Peter Graves, who, you know, I just recently saw in a Geico commercial. The poor guy. Give the man a break. It's Peter fucking Graves, okay? Anyway. Well, to tell you about it, a lot of people, when The Island came out, they were like, didn't we already see this in the 70s, and wasn't it called Parts the Clonus Horror? But, you know, from what I can tell, it hasn't actually gone to litigation, but it was a bit of a hullabaloo when it first came out. But basically, it's about a clone farm and what happens when you've got the clones there who get loose and go walkabout. So this is, again, a decent special edition. You've got a new transfer. You've got an interview with the director, as well as an audio commentary from the director, and a theatrical trailer as well. So that is Parts the Clonus Horror, which is a late 70s horror sci-fi classic, and that's out from Mondo Macabro, Parts of the Clonus Horror. Next up, we've got from New Video a documentary called Rivers and Tides, and this is about the artist Andy Goldsworthy. And even if you don't recall the name, you've probably seen his work. This is the guy who actually goes out and will use stuff in nature to create, for lack of a better word, would be sculptures that aren't supposed to last. They're basically there until nature gets sick of them and they fall over, basically. So he'll work with ice, he'll work with stone, wood, all kinds of things to create these works of art out in nature. And we had previously talked about the original release of this, which had seven short films on it, a photo gallery, a biography, and a biography about the filmmaker. But they have now released this two-disc special edition, which comes with new bits, an interview, exclusive interview with Thomas Reitelsheimer. God, did I say that right? I think so. A new documentary called Snowballs in Summer about Goldsworthy's work, and a companion book, which has new photos in it of Goldsworthy working on his stuff while they're making the film around him. So this is a two-disc set. If you're familiar with the artist, or you know, just want to get familiar with the artist, give it a rental. But if you are a fan, you're going to want to check that out and grab it. It is a two-disc special edition of Rivers and Tides on the artist Andy Goldsworthy, and that is from New Video. From PBS, we've got Seeking 1906, which is a release that I am excited about because it's basically you're there with Simon Winchester. And if we've covered Winchester's work before, and if you haven't checked out his stuff, you really, really should. This is dealing specifically with his book, A Crack in the Edge of the World, about the San Francisco earthquake. But if you haven't read, like, for example, his book on the explosion of Krakatoa called Krakatoa, then you really should. I mean, it's excellent. He reads his own books, so if nothing else, you can grab the audiobooks of them. But he's a fascinating writer, goes in-depth on this, on the subject matter, and just really educates you on stuff you never knew before. So here's Seeking 1906. It's about an hour long, and it does come with a bonus historical footage of San Francisco along with an additional interview with Winchester. But basically, this is going essentially behind the scenes of the book, Cracking the Edge of the World, where he's researching the earthquake and his journey as he goes through that. So Simon Winchester, fascinating guy. Please check out his books. And, of course, check out Seeking 1906. And this is out from PBS Home Video. Last but definitely not least, we've got the Super Mario Brothers Super Show Volume 2, or as Ken would say, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. And this is out from Shout Factory. And for fans of the show, you're definitely going to check this out because it's four discs with 10 hours worth of stuff. And for those who don't remember the show, and I had to be reminded of it, and you have to remember, Mario has been, it went Mario crazy for a while there. You know, not even just the Leguizamo Hoskins, I can't think of his name. The guy who played the villain in the Super Mario Brothers movie, and the, he was in Land of the Dead. Oh my God, I can't think of his name. The incredible character actor who is also in Speed. And I can't... Okay, I'm going to have to look this up while I'm talking to you. But basically, for those who don't remember, you had Captain Lou Albano as Mario in live-action bits that introduced animated bits. And hang on, this is going to drive me up the fucking wall. You hate that? Don't you just hate that when a name just goes right out of your fucking head? I can't believe it. I'm going to be so embarrassed when I find Dennis Hopper. Shit. What the fuck's wrong with me? Dennis Hopper. My God. I'm so sorry that I, you know, geek cred -5. Dennis Hopper. Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, so yes, he was the villain in the Super Mario Brothers live action movie. But anyway, back to the animated bit. This has 24 episodes of their adventures and misadventures. And along with the episodes, you've got four bonus episodes. You've got a featurette, a fan featurette. You've got an interactive tour of the plumbing involved, a costume gallery from fans, and a concept art gallery. So it's a pretty decent addition for an animated show from the 80s that really should scare the shit out of all of us. But you know, if you're a fan, okay, you're going to want to check this out. And again, that's from Shout Factory. It is the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, Super Mario Brothers Super Show, Volume 2, four discs. So that's it. That's your 1031 Heads Up podcast. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I know I did. And, you know, as always, please let me know your thoughts at widgesucks@needcoffee.com. I read everything that is sent to me, and if I don't respond, it's not because I don't love you. It's because I'm getting my ass kicked, especially by these fucking spammers who are pissing me off. But anyway, I appreciate you listening. I want to again say thank you to the Sprites for the use of their excellent song George Romero for our theme music. And that's it. We'll be back with another podcast here shortly, as we are always in perpetual catch-up mode. So thanks again for listening, and, you know, stay close. Bye. I'm thinking, maybe we got a good thing going here. Maybe we shouldn't be in such a hurry to leave.